The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier and Associates LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier and Associates LLC and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us this morning as certified financial planner Jim Saulnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
On today's show, we are going to answer several email questions we've received on Social Security. We've got a variety of issues people are wanting some clarity about. We're also going to tackle a question that we had received about HSAs or health savings accounts. And then we'll probably come up with some other random stuff to talk about.
Two questions on HSAs. I forgot to review the first one with you.
Oh, so multiple questions on Social Security and multiple questions on HSAs. So.
Which is going to elicit that listener who wants me to dedicate a whole show on HSAs. He's probably wondering.
He's probably saying, "It's when are you going to get to that?"
As soon as I'm done that. You know, the more I, and again, I have to confess, I have not fully read my 280-page book on HSAs. I'm about three chapters in. The more you peel back the onions on those,
lots of layers.
There's a lot, lot going on in there, lot going on in those. But we did get two more questions, actually three. We skipped the first one. He wants us to talk completely about HSAs and his strategy of using HSAs in retirement. The one thing that has been confirmed, because people were wondering, and I'll get into this more when we get to the HSAs, yes, you can save receipts and use them years later. That is just, that's going to get closed.
That, one would think so.
That
yeah.
is.
What,
and I'll
what
explain,
Jim means, you can have a receipt and hold it for 10 years until you get to retirement, and then take the money out of your HSA
tax-free to reimburse yourself.
To reimburse you for that receipt that you had from 10 years ago.
10 years, yeah. There's so. No, in the way they wrote the law, there's no, it is the freakiest thing. And in fact, I have something right here. We'll go from, five things to know about HSAs from Kiplinger's magazine. And
the only
that
thing,
was one of them.
I'm guessing you can't use a receipt from before you started the HSA, right? Because that would be inappropriate, but as long as you had it open, I guess they're thinking that you could have taken it out of the HSA then. So whether you take it out at the time of service when you had the receipt generated or you take it out in retirement, it's still coming out of the same place, still was tax-free either way. So maybe that's why. So maybe
I
it
think
won't
so,
get closed.
But it's been proven. That I mean, not proven, but
it's been verified.
Mm-hmm. The Ed Slot Group, for the first ones who breached that with me, and I remember asking them later, we were in the hotel printing our boarding passes, and they were there, and I asked them, I said, are you guys sure? That just sounds too good to be true. And I remember Bev, one of his
helpers.
Helpers, I guess you could say.
Assistants.
They call themselves something else.
Support assistant.
IRA gurus. I don't know. They go by a different title. Bev was there. She says, you know, we read this and read this and read. And to us, yes, it looks like there is no limit on how old that receipt can be. And then she did caution, that's going to get closed. That loophole is going to get closed. But yes, as a, I have an HSA and I'm 53 years old and I'm starting to save every single receipt because I have a high deductible plan that I pay out of pocket. And 20 years from now, when I'm 73, I could take that money out of my HSA 100% tax-free. It gets to grow. Why take it out now? I'm paying for it with my own money. I can leave my money in my HSA and let it compound for 20 years tax-free and then use the receipt to take the money out.
Mm-hmm.
It just floors me when you look at some of these things.
So if, there's, if anybody in Congress is listening, we'd like you to unlisten to what you just heard.
Yes.
And turn off your radio immediately. Go back to whatever you do back in Washington, D.C.
Which is nothing.
Which is nothing. So whatever it is you're doing back there, keep on doing it.
Yes.
You didn't hear what we just talked about.
But we will dedicate a show to HSAs, but we got two email questions in recently on HSAs, three on Social Security. So we have five emails today, and if we still have time after this, I've got other things I can talk about.
Excellent.
Okay.
So where would you would we like to start?
Well,
other than Patriots are surprisingly doing well.
Yes.
We haven't talked football
yet. We haven't talked football.
We're now 3 weeks in, and by some strange twist of fate...
Called Bill
and
Belichick.
Superior coaching, apparently.
Called Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I think he's figured out some way to use X-ray vision to look into the other team's playbook in some way.
It's always cheating with you anti-Patriots fans. You just can't give us credit for being a darn good team. We have to do it by cheating.
He is an evil genius.
He is an evil genius, yes.
He's an evil genius in a hoodie.
Mm-hmm. Yes, evil genius in a hoodie. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm impressed with the way the New England Patriots are doing. The Broncos, Trevor Siemian looked, again, I can't stand the Broncos. Oh, we just lost every Colorado potential client we could have got.
You can't love both the Patriots
you can't,
and the Broncos.
You can't, because they're just two bigger rivals. But Trevor Siemian is just looking really sharp.
Yeah.
This last
especially
game
in
he
Cincinnati,
did,
that first road
he
game.
Just, yeah, yeah, oh my goodness, he looked good. He looked real good. But yeah, we're pulling it out somehow, and of course everybody thinks we're going to wallop Buffalo on Sunday, which means we're going to get our heinies handed to us, because when everybody thinks you're going to win,
probably,
that's the one to worry about. So we shall see, and then Tom Brady comes back, but unfortunately I will not be able to watch Brady's first game back because I will still be out elk hunting. So
there's satellite television.
No, that's our last day there. So we're actually going to try to come home that evening. And the only thing I can hope is that we actually fill our elk tags early in the hunt so I can come home before Sunday and watch the game on Sunday. If not, I am recording it. The hard thing is getting out of the mountains, listening to just radio without someone blurting on the radio, hey, a score in a Patriots game is, and then it just, if you know the outcome.
Listen to a Spanish language channel.
True, and I can't speak Spanish,
perfect.
So even if they say the score,
although they
I
could
know.
Say, I don't know, they could say, Patriots, and then say something, that, right?
Patriots 22, Buffalo 47. But I didn't even know how to say Patriots and Buffalo in Spanish. And I have a terrible fake Spanish accent. So.
Sounds more Italian.
Does it? Well, I look more Italian than Spanish. Mm-hmm.
But you're Portuguese.
I am Portuguese.
So that's even a weirder thing.
It is. Okay, so we did get a lot of questions today. So we want, not today, but all week, and we want to get to them. We want to give a shout out to our iTunians. They're coming. First of all, they play along, and everyone signed George, signed George, signed Georgette. They all know about...
They've got the system down.
But
now
they're not telling us the state they're in. Two of them didn't tell us the state. And I know that bothers you because you were excited when I said we had five email questions.
True.
And the two states that did tell us the states, Tennessee and Texas, and you have a star on Tennessee
already,
and Texas.
Yep.
So you're still patiently waiting. You wanted... didn't you want West Virginia and...
South Carolina. Yep.
So if there is an iTunian in West Virginia or South Carolina
or Delaware,
or better yet, an iTunian in any state who wants to lie and just say they're from Delaware, South Carolina.
Maybe if they visited those states, that's enough.
Chris is trying to fill a map of the United States with questions from iTunians. An iTunian is, of course, anybody outside of Colorado who listens to us off of iTunes. And Chris is doing pretty good. He's got 27 or 28.
That's one of those. Yeah,
yeah, you're pretty high. Mm-hmm. And he's naming the states. So right now he wants Delaware, West Virginia, or South Carolina.
That's going to just fill up our East Coast thing. We'll be able to drive from Key West all the way to Vermont, only touching states that we've received questions.
Amazing. So, and are you going to do this drive?
That'd be a fun drive, but no.
Six kids, a wife, and a full-time
drive,
job.
I will say that drive down to Key West, going between those little islands with the road that just goes out in the ocean, that's pretty freaky, and it's pretty fun.
Is it? Okay, yeah. I've never done it.
You should try that sometime. And you can, there's a lot of good fishing down there. You can go fishing.
I can imagine,
there.
Yeah. I would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Okay, so one other thing, a little bit of housekeeping here. Next week, because right now we're live recorded, next week we're either going to be live recorded, or best of, because yours truly will be out elk hunting. Chris is unsure if he is going to record. He won't record alone. I don't blame him. And then you could if you want to do a show alone.
The most boring show ever.
Yeah.
Who would I talk to?
Nobody.
Exactly.
You could say how wonderful I am and how much you
miss
me.
Maybe I could find a guest.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Ask Pete. Pete's back from his semi-retirement.
Oh, we could bring Pete in, or I could just have a random guest.
You can bring Justin or Andrew on board.
No, an interesting guest.
Now, that's a low blow. Yeah, well, find...
Andrew listens, so...
Get one of your professors from CSU to come on with you.
I don't know what we could do. We could do something.
If Chris can figure something out, he is either going to go live or record it. If he can't figure anything out, that deep-voiced guy that KFKA has is going to be saying, you are listening to a Best of the Retirement and IRA show.
And we have quite a library now because we've been doing this for 17 years or something.
Seven.
Okay. Close, though.
You put a one where it doesn't belong. But, yeah, we do have quite a library. And Chris can... I think he was going to play one of the QLAC shows. He loved
Would
them
you
so
stop?
Much. I know how much you love those. So... anyway, so next week is that, and then we will be live at some point after that. For our Northern Colorado listeners, we did well last time we went live a few weeks ago. We got 7 callers, so that proved to Chris and I that we should go live at least one more time, and we'll do that sometime in October. And then hopefully I'll be able to come back and share a good story that I filled my freezer with some nice elk meat, and we'll move forward from there. Okay, so do you want to do the Social Security questions first, Chris, or do you want to do the HSA questions first?
Want to flip a coin? Because I don't care.
Well, we'll pick the shortest question first.
Okay, that's good because we've used up a fair amount of this with chit-chat.
Okay, so this question came in Saturday the 24th, 10:06 a.m. if you want to know
the
time.
We're pretty up to date. I'm proud of us.
Well, I think you see all this mess in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I think under all these papers, I buried more email questions I just totally didn't get to.
Okay.
And at a break, we can look through here. I mean, because there's a lot of stuff. I think your side of the desk is a lot more
worse
than mine.
This is archives. These are archives. All the old shows.
Okay. Well, your side isn't much cleaner. Pete's side is sparkling clean.
Because he's not here.
But he's not here, yes. Okay, so... First question came in, one sentence, very easy. He sent it from a Sprint Samsung Galaxy S7. Mm. Is that the one that's burning and blowing up?
No, that's the Galaxy Note 7, not the S7. The S7 is not burning up.
Oh, okay. Because I was worried when I saw that. Okay, it begins. I will be retiring in approximately 4.5 years. I will be almost 62 and a half by then.
Mm-hmm.
Can I apply for and receive my Social Security benefit before I officially retire? Signed, George. Now, one thing, George, if you're listening, and I'm going to reach out to you with an email to let you know to listen for the answer, could you please email us back what state you are from? That way you can put a star on it, because he didn't. Mm-hmm. He just told us it was George.
The way it's written, I think it's a South Carolina accent. Just kidding.
Oh, because you want South Carolina as one of them? I was going to say, what are you talking about? But for those of you who don't know, we respect the privacy of all our emailers by calling them George.
Just what I always wanted, my own little bunny rabbit. I will name him George, and I will hug him and pet him and squeeze him.
I'm not a bunny rabbit.
Okay, so I can answer this, and then you opine in.
Okay.
What I want him to know is you don't have to be officially retired to collect Social Security.
Correct.
Retirement, for Social Security's namesake, is just what they call it. But they don't force you to fully stop working, fully retire, get the gold watch, and, you know, the kick your hiney out the door. They don't make you retire. The problem is going to be, he's asking, at 62 and a half, can he apply for and receive a Social Security benefit before he retires? He's going to retire at 62 and a half, but can I begin collecting at 62? Which is the age you're first eligible to begin collecting your own retirement benefit. Now, of course, if you're disabled, you can collect as early as 50. If you're a surviving spouse, you can collect as early as 60. But he's talking about his own retirement benefit. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to wait, Chris, until he retires. He could claim at 62. The problem is he's going to fall victim to the earnings test.
Right. So prior to your full retirement age, which for him actually is going to be over 66. So we're now getting to the point where people are, their full retirement ages are going to start ratcheting up from 66 to 67, depending on the year you were born. We could figure that out, but it's not important for this
question. It's either going to be 66 in 2 months or 66 in 4 months.
66 in a few months is going to be his full retirement age. If he claims his own benefit prior to that, so all the way up to as early as 62, he is subject, first of all, of course, he's reducing his benefit permanently by claiming early. That's one issue. He's not asking that question. But the secondary issue is he'll be subject to or exposed to the earnings test. And in 2016, the earnings test is set so that if you earn more than $15,720, they're going to reduce your Social Security benefit $1 for every $2 over that amount. So somebody who's in a full-time career-type job with a decent salary is probably going to be earning well in excess of that $15,000 figure and may very well wipe out entirely the benefit that they would have received for claiming or put a big dent in it at the least. So if he's going to stop working at 62 and a half, those 6 months, he may not have the option of receiving any benefit if he's still receiving.
If his earnings are too high, I would encourage him. Mm-hmm. Two things I want to mention. I want to mention that earnings test, and then I want to get on to what I was thinking, just because the numbers worked out perfect. If he is retiring at 62 and a half, and here's where I'm a little unsure, Chris, can he file retroactive to 60?
No.
Or does he have to be his full retirement age to do that?
He has to be his full retirement age. Retroactive is back to your full retirement age.
That's what
age.
I thought. Mm-hmm. So if this was 66 and a half and his full retirement age was 66, he could get those 6 months given as a lump sum retroactive.
Correct.
But because he's looking to claim early. Okay, that was the first thing I wanted to clarify. The second thing I want to talk to this gentleman about, be very careful if you're going to claim at 62. If longevity is in your life, we just met with two people recently, Chris, that we sent to do the Living to 100 test. One came back with a life expectancy of 97 and the other 98.
Wow.
Yeah, both of them women, 97 and 98. And again, I joke with them because I came in at 86 and I said, look, I said, I'm not lying on my test. And I do joke with people. You can lie on it if you want. You can shave a few pounds off of your weight where it asks how active you are. You can say, you know, 4 to 5 days a week instead of 1 or 2. Go ahead. Lie all you want. But you're not tricking the big guy upstairs. He knows. But anyways. Yeah,
he knows. It'd be nice if he shared with us when the day is, because that would make retirement planning much, much easier.
What we're talking about, folks, is we encourage our clients that we work with and our listeners, when evaluating Social Security, to me, the biggest unknown or the biggest variable is how long you're going to live. Because when we change the date of death in our Social Security software, it often changes the optimization claiming strategy. Mm-hmm. And when we evaluate Social Security in a full retirement plan, not just doing Social Security optimization itself, but in a full retirement plan, we have to look at longevity. And we require now everyone who works with us for a full retirement plan or just a very small minor optimization on Social Security, everybody has to do the life expectancy test so we can look at that and have a little clearer understanding. So I'm going to encourage this particular George to go to the website living2100.com, and that's living, the letters T-O, but the number 100.com. We should get, click referrals or whatever? I mean, we're just
giving this out because we feel it to be useful.
Yeah,
we're not attached to them in any way.
But
there's probably other similar sites, systems, yeah. But this is one.
This one was created by a doctor who is going to try to get you to buy his book at the end. But if you unclick the, you know, don't market to me little box he has, I've never received a junk email from him because I unclicked that and mm-hmm. he has never emailed to me. But he wrote a book and this is his attempt at it. But go to that website, listener, and see what your life expectancy is. And if your life expectancy is coming in your 80s or 90s, you're really going to want to think twice about claiming at 62 because you get so much less. Mm-hmm.
Unless you need it. There's always the people that if they really have no other resources other than Social Security, and they are, in this case, it sounds like he's pretty much decided on the date of retirement, 62 and a half, you have no other choice but to turn it back on because you need it to live on. That's, I guess, fortunate that you're able to retire and live on that, but it's unfortunate that your options are restricted because you don't have other resources that have been saved up. But many, many Americans fall into that category where they really don't have other options. So they always hear about us talking about, you know, I'm sure hear people yelling at their radio, I can't delay. I need the money. I've got
right.
to do
it. If you need the money, then my question would be maybe he needs to rethink retiring at 62 and a half. If I need the money, well, mm-hmm. maybe you should continue working for another year or two. Because especially if you're going to live a long time. Now, if the results from your test come back and they expect you to pass away in your 70s, then, yeah, you may want to say, hey, wait a minute. No, I may not have long. I've got this medical condition and I want to enjoy it. Absolutely, we're fine with that. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to have a long life expectancy, think long and hard about claiming at 62, because once you do it, you have 1 year to change your mind. That's it, 1 year. And you have to pay everything back in order to change your mind. Other than that, you are locked in forever as age 62. The final thing I want to mention is basically, again, he thought, do I have to wait till I'm retired? The answer is no. He can he can claim any time after the age of 62, even if he's still working. But as Chris said, you might lose some or all of your benefit if you claim early and you're still working. So you have to be very careful on that. But one thing, even if he lost all 6 months, he filed at 62, Chris, he doesn't officially stop work until 62 and a half. And because he earned too much, Social Security kept those earnings. And that would be a hard one because you get that special rule in the year of retirement.
No, not the year you turn your full retirement age. Although you get the one time, yes. That must be the thing that
the
you're talking about.
The one time where they're going to take the 15,750 right. divide right. by 12, and only in those months. Right. I don't have a calculator with me.
So then we'd have to
me.
See the month that he...
We'd have to evaluate it to see if they're going to keep anything or not. They may not is what we're getting to, because they have a special rule in the year of retirement where they take that 15,750 and apply it monthly. So we have to really look and see. I hear the music playing. What I want to do is when I come back, explain to him that money's not lost. It's the only thing I want to add. Any money that they keep from you from the earnings test is not lost. But it's not really given to you very quickly. And that's what we want to explain.
Perfect. So this is the Retirement IRA Show. We are headed into our first break here. It'll be a fairly short break, I believe. When we come back from this break, we're going to hear one of the top songs from 1935 as we look back. It's appropriate today since we're talking so much about Social Security. 1935 was the year Social Security started, and one of the top songs that year was done by a young, curly-topped superstar who sang this irresistibly cute song.
Shirley Temple.
You got half of it right.
Good Ship Lollipop.
Nope. We'll find out what it is right after this
short. That's the only song by her I know.
Okay. Well, you'll learn another one here in a moment.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
Animal crackers in my soup, monkeys and rabbits loop-a-loop. Gosh, oh geez, but I have fun swallowing animals one by one. In every bowl of soup I see lions and tigers watching me. I make them jump right through a hoop, those animal crackers in my soup.
Well, welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. Don't think we've played that song at any time in the last 7 years on the show.
I don't think I've played it ever in 53 years.
So Jim had it right. That is Shirley Temple from 1935, from the 1935 film Curly Top, obviously.
Because of her curly hair.
Describing her. Singing Animal Crackers in My Soup. Only slightly less popular than her earlier hit on the Good Ship Lollipop, which is the one we were
familiar with. Okay, that's the one I thought.
And that's ranked as the number two hit in 1935.
So this Good Ship Lollipop was number two?
Number two in the whole year.
How come we haven't played that one yet?
We have, but just not in recent memory.
We played that?
In the last couple of years we've played that.
No, I'd have been singing along with that one. You were singing along to this animal cracker in your soup thing. I was quite impressed.
I was mouthing it.
But you knew the lyrics.
Well, I've heard the song before.
Well, I think it's because of your young daughter.
I don't think she's heard it.
No?
No.
Oh, well. Okay.
I'm not sure where that stuck in my mind from.
But I do like the song Good Ship Lollipop.
Mm-hmm. I think I like Animal Crackers a little better. Just my personal preference.
All right.
So,
listening or eating?
Both.
Okay. Welcome back, listeners, to the Retirement and IRA Show. This is the second half. We're answering email questions from listeners. And
Second quarter,
right.
We're four quarters, NFL
quarter,
football.
Second quarter, not the second half. Mm-hmm. But as is typical with our show, we can take a very simple question and look at it from five different angles. So I just want to wrap up a little bit more in this very straightforward, easy question. Mm-hmm. Off mic, when the commercials were playing, Chris and I were chatting a little bit about this special one-year rule. I just want to clarify the air. We don't think this gentleman would actually benefit from that special one-year rule because he seems to want to he's asking, can he claim before 62 and a half if he doesn't retire? So it looks like he wants to claim, Chris, right when he turns 62.
Right, and claim while he's working another 6 months or so, and then he'll stop working and his Social Security will continue on.
Right. The special rule of which we speak was designed for people more like myself, people who were born in the latter half of the year, people who were born... And I was born in July, but some people could be born in August, September, October, November, even December. And they have amassed quite a bit of earnings already. He seems to want to collect at 62 and retire at 62 and a half. So I'm just guessing.
Which could span 2 years for all we know. We don't know the dates on him.
Right. But bear in mind that the special rule is an option. You don't have to take it. And it's really designed, let's say in my case, I want to retire July 24th in the year I turn 62. I'm just making this up, Chris. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty much born towards the end of July. So that's almost a full 7 months of work.
So the first month he'd be able to collect for would be August, because that's the first month in which he's 62 the entire month. So, and that would be then paid in September.
Correct.
So if you stop work in July, This is opening up another little box of worms. If he retires on his 62nd birthday and thinking, okay, I've got it made, I can finally turn on my Social Security, he won't get a check until the third Wednesday of September. So he better have some money
to make it
from July to the end of September.
And we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. But what this special rule is designed for, let's say, folks, I earned $60,000 already by time I retire at the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to now claim my benefit. Yep. I have two choices. I can take the $15,750 in one lump sum, because that's my bogey. I'm only going to lose benefits for any earnings above that. So my bogey is $15,750. So I could take it as a lump sum and subtract it from my $60,000, which is
roughly $45,000.
I always like hitting them with these things. Wouldn't it be $44,250?
It would, but it's $15,720 if we want to get really
persnickety. Oh, goodness, right. So it would be
$44,780.
Okay. So
$280.
Now I'm getting confused. Let's just say $280.
$45,000, nice and easy, right?
Okay. So my bogey is wiped out. Now there's $45,000 remaining.
Of earnings above the earnings
above
limit.
Above the limit. So they're going to take that $45,000 and divide by two.
Correct.
Which is?
$22,500.
$22,500. Let's say my benefit was $2,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting anything?
No, because exactly. You only have, you know, roughly 5 months of the year left. That's only $10,000, and then you're going to try to reduce it by $22,000. That's going to completely wipe out any benefit you could have received in the year that you turn 62 if you take that earnings limit as one lump application.
As one lump bogey.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided that's not fair.
Right. Makes sense.
And it's not fair to people who are born later in the year. It would be fine if I was born in January.
Right. Because you won't have the opportunity to earn anything.
Because I wouldn't have any earnings. Yep. So, or I might have just a few weeks' earnings.
Mm-hmm.
No way near the $15,750 bogey. I'd get all my Social Security that year.
Yep.
So the special rule, which is an option I can use, I could go into Social Security and say, wait, apply the special rule. Now they'll take $15,750 and divide by 12. And Chris did the math. It was 1,300 and what?
1,310 if it's 15,720.
I keep saying 750.
I know. That's And by the way, that's the earnings limit in 2016. That number changes every year. But right now, that's the limit.
So
they'll take that, divide by 12, meaning you've got a monthly earnings limit now instead of a single annual limit, a monthly limit of 1310.
And then they will apply that, folks, only for earnings I earn after I begin receiving my Social Security benefit. So they'll apply it for any money I earn in August, September, October, November, or December.
Mm-hmm.
But if I fully stop working and don't do anything, boom, I get all my Social Security.
Even though he may have earned a ton in the first
right, even if I earned $300,000,
exactly.
Not $60,000.
Yep.
However, if I decided to keep working, as long as every month I'm working, I don't earn more than the $1,310. How did they come up with that? $15,720 divided by 12. So let's say I was going to keep working and make just $1,300 a month. Mm-hmm. I would still get to keep all my Social Security.
Yep.
But if I was going to earn more than $1,310, I will lose some or all of my Social Security every month I earn more than that.
Right.
So we just wanted to walk people through that. The other thing, people always think, and we may have said this unknowingly, we say we lose. You don't really lose it. They're going to give it back to you. I want to make that perfectly clear. But they don't say to you, gee, Mr. and Mrs. Social Security client or Mr. Social Security client or Mrs., we kept $20,000 of yours because of the earnings test. Here it is. They don't give you a lump sum check. What they do is when you turn your full retirement age, for me it's age 67. For most people it's somewhere between 66 and 67. When you reach your full retirement age, they are going to look at how many months worth of benefits they kept. Not dollars, months. And let's just say they kept 24 months of benefits, making this up for the example, and that you retired at 62. And somewhere between 62 and your full retirement age, you worked enough where the earnings test kept 24 months of benefits. When you reach a full retirement age, they are simply going to recalculate your benefit as if you retired at 62 and 24 months, which is essentially another 2 years. So they're going to pretend and recalculate your benefit as if you retired at 64. If they kept 14 months, they're going to recalculate as if you retired at 62 and 14 months, which is 3 years and 2 months. Excuse me, which is 63 and 2 months. Mm-hmm. And they'll just recalculate your benefit, Chris, at a slightly higher rate. Mm-hmm. And then that's what you get, is a little bit more every month. And it can take decades to actually get your money back.
Well, they design it so you'll break even, if you will. You'll get your money back at about, at roughly...
the point you die.
The average mortality age, which, turns out to be late 70s, early 80s is where most people end up getting the money back. So that's the downside of, they take it from you essentially very quickly.
They take it in one lump sum, but give it back to you a little bit at a time.
That's why if you know you're going to be subject to the earnings test, unless you absolutely need some of the money, it's usually better not to file if you're going to be severely impacted because of the way they take it all right now really quickly, but then kind of dribble it back out to you slowly once you reach your full retirement age.
Absolutely. And if you die before life expectancy, then you never got all your money back. Mm-hmm. But if you live longer, you'll actually get a little bit more. They don't cut your benefit when you received everything back.
And I don't want to go into details, but just so people know, there are cases where we actually encourage people to file, even though they know they're going to be subject to the earnings test, even if they're going to be completely wiped out. Usually when we're trying to coordinate benefits between them and a spouse.
Maybe we'll do a whole segment dedicated to that. That's a good strategy. Mm-hmm. Ever since they changed the rules last November, and it's very difficult for couples to file and suspend, that strategy has gone the way of the dodo bird. Because it's very difficult to file and suspend, this is a strategy Chris and I have recommended in the past, and we'll chat about it. It doesn't work for everyone, but when it works, it works good.
Right.
Okay, so let's get to the second Social Security question, also from someone named George. And I love it, the way they give their real name, but then put in parentheses, George. And I'm just trying to see real fast. Another one, this George as well, has not told us where he's from. Yeah. So we've got two people. When I reach out to them, I'll email them later and let them know we're answering their question. We'll see, and hopefully they'll be from a state that Chris doesn't have a star for. Okay, this is a fairly long, you can see, email.
To summarize that.
I'm going to summarize it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But it begins, "Dear Jim and Chris, I have been listening to your podcast for several months." So a newbie, several months, hasn't been listening that long. "I have been listening to your podcast for several months and have a question specific to Social Security benefits. My wife and I are both federal employees. I am age 57. I was trying to jump ahead and that doesn't work. I'm going to have to read this in order. My wife and I are both federal employees and will meet the years of service requirement to be eligible to retire at age 57. God bless federal employees. If I had to go back in time, maybe I'd become a Fed.
Maybe.
That would have been cool. Okay.
You can retire at 57 if you want to. It's a free country.
I could, but I won't get their pension.
Well, there's that.
That's the thing. I want the pension.
Okay.
Okay. We are both currently 42. We are saving aggressively in hopes that we will not need to work once we can retire from federal service. Okay.
It's a great goal.
So I'm going to skip the middle paragraph. It doesn't apply to this. The last paragraph is the meat and potato. I pulled each of our Social Security statements and our PIA estimates. PIA, folks, if you don't know, is primary insurance amount. Our PIA estimates are only $5 difference between us, so they have very similar earnings history. However, in examining the caveat, I love how he worded this, when examining the caveat-filled Social Security statement. For everyone who's never read their statement, the government is pretty much telling you, we think you might get this much, and we think we might be able to pay you, but we're really not sure. So he read what most people don't read. He said, when examining the caveat-filled Social Security statement, it strikes me that it is generated with the assumption we are going to continue to work until our full retirement age at the same relative income we have now.
Correct.
Then he wrote, since we intend to retire at 57, the beginning of our career, since we intend to retire at 57 versus 67, I assume there will be 10 years with a zero in our calculation as opposed to higher earning years that Social Security is assuming. As such, I find the numbers that, I find that the estimate is somewhat lacking as an effective planning tool. Mm-hmm. We currently plan for retirement ignoring Social Security, but I would like to intelligently forecast my estimated benefit at age 70. Do you know of a website or a calculator or a certain method we can use that you can point me to that will allow me to correct for a more accurate primary insurance amount?
Mm-hmm. So, yes. And there's really two things that are going on with the Social Security assumptions on there. And in this person's case, one of their assumptions is causing it to overstate their benefit estimate, and one is causing it to probably understate. And so it's going to kind of balance out a fair amount. Their specific numbers will determine how much that offsets. But the two things that are kind of at odds here, the assumption that they continue to work until their full retirement age, and specifically Social Security assumes you're going to earn the average of your last 2 years worth of income. They just plug that in as what your future earnings are going to be all the way up to your full retirement age. Well, that assumption is better, if you will, than his reality because he's planning to retire at 57, a full 10 years shy. So they're assuming 10 years worth of earnings that he's planning not to have. Now, that doesn't mean he's necessarily going to have zeros in there because at 57, if he may very well have 35 years worth of Social Security earnings. Now, as he pointed out, I believe in there, his early years in his early 20s, I'm sure he's not making nearly as much as he is at the end of his federal service career. So they're going to be including those. Maybe not zero, but much lower than they are now. So that's going to tend to bring down his true PIA from their estimate. But on the other hand, what they're also assuming is there's going to be no wage inflation between now and age 67. What does wage inflation do? Well, it causes the indexing of your earnings to change, meaning past year's earnings become larger in the calculation for your AMI, your average indexed monthly earnings, which leads to your PIA. So even though you may not earn another dollar, your Social Security benefit actually increases as time goes by due to wage inflation. So they're applying none of that. They're assuming zero. And to be honest with you, there hasn't been a long period of time. There's occasionally been a year or two here or there where there's no wage inflation. But for the most part, there has been wage inflation every year in the United States. So
it's been minimal lately, but it's always been there.
So they're ignoring that completely. So that the fact that there will be almost for sure some noticeable wage inflation by the time he reaches 67 means they're underestimating on that hand. So his point is, how can I get a better estimate here where I can change those assumptions? There's a couple of places.
Go ahead.
I got it.
Okay.
There's a couple places. One, there's a very confusing and hard to use calculator at the Social Security website. There's a basic estimator, which is basically as useless as the statement. It has the same assumptions. If you look for it, though, there's an advanced calculator that you can access that was designed by a computer technician from the 1950s, I believe. It's terrible, but it will allow you to make some of these adjustments. That's one option. There's, I'm sure, a couple of websites out there that do this. You can do a social security optimization. I kind of slurred my words there.
A social security
optimization with us. That runs $79. And not
75.
Only,
did we raise that prices?
Is it 75?
It's always been 75.
Okay.
I keep trying to get the four dollars. What are you trying to jip our listeners
off?
$4?
Apparently, I responded to George here and told him 79. So when we, I'll tell him it's
George. If
it's
you're
on
listening,
sale for
it's
75.
No, it's not on sale. It's always been 75.
It's deeply discounted.
Who charges
just
something 79?
Well, I thought we did. Anyway, so I just answer the questions. I don't
79.53.
Perfect. Well, that's one option. And not only will we answer his, what will my PIA really be, we'll give him some suggestions of some claiming strategies that he might want to consider, given his situation, that would involve he and his spouse claiming maybe at different times or that sort of thing. So there are some things we can look at
right
there.
Right, and for a shameful plug for us, we do it because our software allows us to actually enter your earnings for every single year. So we would actually have you pull your statement, your earnings history with Social Security. We would hand enter all of that in for every single year and then tell the software specifically when you're going to stop working. Mm-hmm. Now, we would need to also tell the software what your wage inflation should be applied to for your salary between your current age, which is, I think he said, 42, and when he wants to stop at 57. So we could customize our wage inflation increase to reflect his actual what he actually would experience as wage inflation.
Well, the wage inflation is a countrywide,
national.
It's like CPI.
Right, but it's going to be based off of his actual earnings.
Negative. Nope, has nothing to do with his earnings. The wage inflation applies to the indexing amount.
Right, but our software needs to know
we can tell it what that is.
What he's going to earn 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, all the way to 57. So if he's expecting big promotions and higher pay, could we not tell the software that?
We tell them that, but we also have to tell the software the wage inflation, which are two completely separate
things.
Okay,
so I'm just misspeaking. Yeah. I'm getting that we can put in, if you're going to get promotions and more money, that can be factored into the software in addition to wage inflation.
And in addition to him stopping at 57, we don't have to make it go all the way to 67.
Correct.
So we'll stop it at 57, have a much better projection than the base assumption Social Security is using, and we will use a more reasonable assumption for wage inflation, which will affect the indexing of all of his past earnings when they do the calculation.
And can we, though, put in promotions and things of that
nature? Yeah, we can just type in earnings estimates for every year up until the day he stops.
Okay, because he works for the feds, and it's a pretty standard, in 3 more years, I'm going to jump another level.
Yeah, he'll have
4
a pretty good
years.
Idea.
Right, so that's why I was trying to mention that. We can build all that in, and it's just based on the software. It's not that we're brilliant. We have software that does it. And it's unfortunate the Social Security Administration doesn't offer something like this
Well, I've looked at it before. Generally, the way they do their assumptions is going to underestimate your benefit. And they do it intentionally to encourage people to save other monies.
Oh.
They don't want to overstate or even make it look all that glorious with the thought that the more conservatively they give you this number, when it turns out to be larger, that'll just be good news. But if you have a more dire projection, it might get you to get off your hiney and start saving for retirement.
Oh,
and they fully admit that that's why they
reverse psychology.
I think it's scare tactics.
All right, scare tactics. Okay, so hopefully that answered the question for George. But you might find some websites out there that have software that will allow you to do this on your own. I don't know. Generally speaking, to get to this depth and this level, you're looking at a site that's going to charge for it. You're going to have to pay somewhere to get at this type of calculator or use the free calculator on Social Security's website, which, as Chris said, was probably written in the 1950s.
If you're talented in Excel and really know the rules of Social Security, you could just construct it on your own, too, if you had several hours some weekend to waste.
Is it that bad, really?
Well, constructing it from scratch, it would be.
Oh. But their calculator, so
their calculator is a little bit better, at least as a template that you put numbers into, but it'll take you a couple hours just to read the instructions on how to use it.
Wow, okay. I've never looked because we have hot software.
Yeah,
there's no need to.
It's very painful.
So. Okay. Well, when we come back, we've got one more Social Security and two HSA questions.
Very nice.
It's been one. Wow, that was a fast segment.
It was. And this is the Retirement and IRA Show, for those of you who have just tuned in recently. When we come back from this break, we're going to play some more interesting music. And this is all in our lead up to what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com, which during one of these breaks, I'll have to look up what actually is new with helpwithmysocialsecurity.com.
You wrote it.
I did, but I'm not sure which one she decided to use this week. So I'll figure out what that is. And but when we come back, we're going to hear the number one song this week from 1976, which is 40 years ago this week. And this band's name came from a box of cough drops common at the time. And was voted number 73 on the Billboard Top 100 Songs of All Time.
Their name was named after a box of cough drops. The Ludens?
Correct. Maybe. We'll find out after this short break.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, HELPS.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. For about the third week in a row, we've got played that funky music by Wild Cherry. That's where he got the song name. While in the hospital, the band leader and writer Rob Parisi saw a box of cough drops called Wild Cherry, decided that it was a good band name.
So it could have been Ludens, because those Ludens were Wild Cherry.
Yep, probably was. In 1990, rapper Vanilla Ice released a song featuring an interpretation of it, but he didn't credit Rob and got sued, and he won.
Vanilla won or Rob won?
Rob won.
And didn't Vanilla, he got sued by David Bowie because the beginning of his Ice Ice Baby song sounds just like a David Bowie song. And Queen, David Bowie and Queen.
It was Queen.
Under Pressure or something like that.
Queen and, Vanilla, you know, he got into a little trouble several times. Mr. Ice.
He was a rabble.
He was a rabble. And a rebel, too.
Okay, well, we've got to... Do we have anything to say? Well, why do we do this?
The show?
Well, the show, because we got nothing else to do for 2 hours every day. But we do this lead-in with the songs, folks, especially for new listeners. They've been wondering, why the heck do these guys do this? Okay, well, we do it because it's a lead-in to helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. Now, granted, on this show, we're answering a lot of Social Security questions, but we also have a blog, not only on our radio show, but we blog every week on a website called helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. And as a lead-in, we start with a song from 1935, the first year Social Security was created. Then this was the number one song in America 40 years ago this week. And why we do that is when Social Security was first created, the calculation was based on a number they called 40 elapsed years. And when Social Security first began, remember, folks, nobody had paid into it. It was brand new. So they had to come up with a way to figure out your benefit, and it was based on a number called 40 elapsed years, and that's why we then look back 40 years. Now, today, and beginning, I believe it was somewhere in the 1950s, they changed and they started looking at what they call 35 computation years, which is your highest 35 years of earnings. So in the next segment, we're going to lead in. Normally it's the number one song in America 35 years ago, but I think the number one song in America 35 years ago was playing for like 15 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. And Chris didn't want to do that. So he chooses like a top 10 song from 35 years ago. But the whole point is the number 35 was based on the calculation today called 35 computation years. So when we put all that together, it leads into the fourth segment of the show where we give you an update on what's new and help with mysocialsecurity.com. So that's why we do this. And we thought it would be a little fun and a little trip down memory lane. I remember the Shirley Temple song. I remember as a kid growing up watching Shirley Temple. And
live?
Not live. Oh. I'm not that old. It was all reruns in black and white on Sunday mornings on Channel 56 out of Boston. Hmm. I always remember that. Mm-hmm. Or is it Channel 38? One or the other. The UHF or UVH or VHF channels that aren't even around anymore. But I remember that. You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
What do you mean? Do I remember that? I didn't watch channels out of Boston all the
but
way
out
in Wyoming.
But you must have had the normal ABC, NBC, CBS, and then occasionally you could get a UHF or UVH or something like that channel that didn't carry any of the network news or anything, and they would play shows. Didn't you have something like that?
No, we had three networks, two of which were snowy most of the time, one of which the audio would cut in and out, and that was about it.
You grew up in the middle of nowhere,
correct.
Wyoming.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was no beaming stuff from Boston, right?
We were in the middle of a city, so we had these things.
That's very fancy of you.
Okay. So, anyways, that's why we do the songs, but welcome back to the Retirement IRA Show. This is the beginning of the third segment. We've got one more segment to go, and we've got a few emails to go to, and one email that I found literally at the break, buried under all this mess in front of me, an email from the beginning of September. So I am going to jump him to the head of the class after we answer this last Social Security question and before the HSA questions.
Perfect.
Okay, where's the next Social Security question?
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-oh. All right, we got to find
this
a better filing.
This is the most disorganized show.
People think we're kidding when we say we don't prep. Okay, I forgot.
You don't even put thing in piles.
I don't. Okay. It's here in my iPad. This one just literally came in today. No, it came in on the, it came in on the 23rd?
That's 4 days ago.
Oh, and you already answered it.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought I just read this today.
No. Well, maybe you did. If so, you're really behind.
I'm behind, yeah, but it's dated the 23rd, and you answered it today.
I did.
So why did it take you so long?
Because it's the first day I was in since the 23rd.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Okay, so this, did he say where he's from?
No.
So I'm going to have to reach out to him, too, and ask. I got to ask everybody where they're from.
Might be a South Carolina accent, though.
You and this. For those who don't know, Chris needs someone from Delaware, West Virginia, or South Carolina to send us an email.
We need to fill out the Eastern Seaboard with stars.
Yes. And then once he can get those three states, he theoretically, you could drive along the Eastern Seaboard into a state where Chris has answered someone's question. From Maine all the way down to Key
Largo.
Well,
not Maine. Let's not get carried away. We can go to Key West up to Vermont, but we have no New Hampshire or Maine.
No questions for New Hampshire or Maine?
No.
Well, we need them too.
Well, eventually. I'm just working on South Carolina first.
Oh,
there's
so you're
going to
go.
Right,
that's why you said you're going to cut through Vermont to Canada.
Yep. Well, I'm not headed to Canada.
We need the tip
I'm
of Maine.
Not crazy.
Okay.
It's cold up there.
Yes. Okay. It begins. Jim, I have been a longtime fan of your and Chris's blog. I have been listening for a few years and drive to and from work in Florida where I have time to listen. So he's a blogger, not a radio show person. We should tell him that we're also on. If he's listening to our Social Security blog, which is only about 10 minutes long, you can get 143 minutes.
Yeah.
If he wants. I mean, that's a long drive to Florida.
That's a large commitment.
Well, I'm going to inform him that he could listen to the actual show. Okay. Wow, this is a long one. I'm going to try to be quick in this. A little bit of a background. I am 64 and will be 65 in December. I am currently taking Social Security and have been since November of 2014. My benefit is $2,084 a month. I married 3.5 years ago. So I took my benefit after I married. So after he got married, he started collecting Social Security. Mm-hmm. My wife, I'll skip her name. He lists it. My wife, we'll call it Georgette. My wife, Georgette, is 68 and will be 70 in July of 2018. I wonder if she was born the 24th like I was.
No.
Oh, you asked?
No.
Well, she could be then.
She could be.
Okay. She took her Social Security benefit at age 62 before we were married. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of age difference between the two. She is older. He is younger. He started collecting Social Security after they married. She started collecting Social Security before they were married.
Which seems like an appropriate way for life to go. The way life expectancies are, older women should marry younger men.
So they both die together.
So they're at least closer, so okay. That there's not one left behind for a lot of time.
Okay. Here is the kicker. My wife's benefit is $1,108 a month. My PIA, primary insurance amount, would be $2,614 at age 66. That's his full retirement age. Mm-hmm. So I wanted her to file a restricted application and essentially collect half of his PIA since they got married, mm-hmm. which would be $1,307, which is greater than her $1,108. Mm-hmm. So then he said, I went to the Social Security Administration office, and I love how he put this, wearing a proud smile. I hope he had more than just a proud smile on. But I went to the Social Security Administration office wearing a proud smile. But they told me that Georgette cannot apply for auxiliary benefits once she suspends her own benefits. That the laws have changed. Can you please explain to me their reasoning?
Okay, so the first part of that, the rule change that happened on April 30th of 2016 did a couple of things. One, it made it so if someone suspends their benefit, anyone collecting on their record, so any auxiliary benefits being paid out on their record also suspend. And everyone who's paying attention to this or interested in this probably has heard about that one. That's where if, say, the husband suspends their benefit, the wife cannot continue to collect a spousal benefit on his record if he's suspended. That has gone away as of April 30th. If you prior to that, you could absolutely do that. The husband could suspend and the wife could continue to receive her spousal benefit. Since April 30th, that's gone, as well as the rule that if you suspend your own benefit, you cannot claim some other auxiliary benefit. So those are two different things that I'm describing. One is, to use the husband and wife example, the husband suspends, that actually shuts off the wife from collecting a spousal. But also, if the wife suspends her benefit, she can't collect the spousal on the husband. She can't switch, essentially. Now, she is of the age where had she not have filed yet, she could have gone in, and you could have gone in with the smile on your face and had her file a restricted application claiming just the spousal benefit on George's record, leaving her own benefit to grow in the background to 70, which is exactly what he was trying to do.
That's what I was going to say, which
but
is what?
But the rug was pulled out from under them
Yes. By
the fact that she had filed previously, which makes it so she cannot switch because of this new rule on suspending.
And that's what it seems he wants to do. He wants her to be able to suspend her benefit so it will continue to earn the 8% delayed retirement credits. That's what I interpreted on this. And collect his PIA, which is a little bit higher than her current benefit. And again, as you said, once she suspends, she can't go and collect a spousal. Correct. But if she had never began collecting to begin with, she would be able to go in, file a restricted app, collect half of his, and allow hers to continue to grow. And the unique thing that I want to point out, Chris, he claimed early at 62, but the spousal benefit is half of his PIA, which is his age 66 benefit. The fact that he claimed early has no bearing on what a spouse can receive. A spouse is always entitled to half of the working spouse's PIA. If the spouse claimed early, then the benefit would be reduced. Mm-hmm. But the fact that he claimed early wouldn't. But there's also, and do you want to get into the second? I didn't mention the second part
of it. The second little question is, say, if they were right, which they are, that she can't do this, is there, what is preventing her from claiming his spousal at
1,300 and, I can't find it. 1,300 and something. How come I can't find it?
I don't know.
Oh, $1,307. Yeah. Oh, 1,307. Yeah.
Yeah, 1,307. What's preventing her from collecting that instead of her 1,108, which is she's collecting on her own record? Well, this also springs from the fact that she claimed early. She actually is only afforded or allowed or paid a spousal benefit to the extent that the spousal benefit exceeds her own benefit. You might say, well, it does, but you're comparing apples to oranges. The 1,308 is the spousal benefit if she claimed at her full retirement age, not that she claimed at 62. So what they do is they look at the difference between that and her own full retirement age benefit, which with a little math, I figured out that if her 1,108 payment is what she's getting and she filed at 62, if she'd waited to 66, her benefit would be somewhere north of 1,450. Her 1450, her own benefit, is larger than the spousal benefit, so she is not owed any extra for the spousal. So the answer is no. She cannot collect the 13 and change. She has to stay at her 1108. The one little thing she is still allowed to do, she could suspend her benefit and receive delayed retirement credits to the age of 70, which for her,
that's 16%
is only about it's less than 2 years, so it only about 14.6% to her benefit. So she would have to shut off her benefit by suspending, receive nothing at all for the next 22-ish months or so, and then turn it back on for the slightly higher benefit. Without knowing the rest of her situation, I couldn't judge whether which one of those might be a better way to go. But that's really the one and only remaining strategy, if you will, or option that she has based on current rules and when she filed.
Okay. Well, there again is another classic example of someone impacted by this rule change that quietly passed last November. And again, we've been saying repeatedly that people are getting less back or less benefit, and this is another example of it.
For them, it's not a tremendous harm, because all they're really losing is the 14% larger benefit she could get by doing the delayed retirement credits. And her spousal, if they were to let her switch to the spousal, be a little bit lower. So once you factor all that in, it would have been nice to get the little bit extra, but it's not for them, it's not tens of thousands of dollars, most likely, like we've seen some other people that were impacted by the rule changes that literally was
$30,000. Well, the difference is, though, under the old rule, or am I missing something here, she could have suspended her benefit and then began receiving her spousal benefit.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, but it's going to be less than what she's receiving now.
But she would have been paid to delay and get more, as opposed to getting nothing now.
Yes.
You did say that?
I did.
All right, I should pay attention more.
Yes.
Okay. So that was the last Social Security question. What I do want to address is a question we received Thursday, September 1st. So, goodness, this is almost a month now. And this poor guy must be thinking, goodness, they've answered so many questions ahead of mine.
Yeah, they're probably wondering what we have against them.
Nothing. And actually, even though he never told us, this particular George, he did sign it George in parentheses, in quotation marks, rather, George. Even though he didn't tell us where he was from, he made reference to Pocatello. Mm-hmm. And you told me that that's probably the Pocatello, Idaho.
I'm not aware of any other Pocatello.
Okay. So I think that's one of my potential retirement destinations.
Have you visited Pocatello?
No, but they had it on the news recently, and it looked pretty.
Maybe you should visit a few of these places before you start. Not that I'm saying it's bad, but Pocatello is quite different from where you're used to living right now.
Well, it looked like you could get to Boise, Salt Lake City, or Jackson Hole in a fairly equal amount of time.
You could, and you'd probably want to go to those places frequently.
Rather
since
than
there's
Pocatello.
Not a whole lot in Pocatello. It's kind of small and in the middle of the West, and it's kind of remote-ish.
Oh. Well, anyways, it's
a nice country there.
It looked pretty. They showed pictures of it.
Sure.
And the scenery just looked really nice.
It's super nice.
Okay. Have you been there?
To visit. Yeah. I'm not sure. Living there long term might be a little bit.
Have you been there?
Oh, yeah. Many times.
Okay. All right. So the letter begins, yo. So he's very friendly. Begins with a yo. Yo, Jim, Chris. And then I like how he put in parentheses, possibly Pete. So he has to be a long-term listener to know that Pete is now in his semi-retired stage, or as he jokes around, his practice retirement stage, and he hasn't been on the show. I will see Pete tomorrow night. We're going to go out to dinner, but he hasn't been on the show for a while. We'll try to get him on sometime in October. He's been busy driving around with Mrs. Pete, who he finally shared with me is named Lauren. Kept saying, you don't have to call her Mrs. Pete, Jim. Her name is Lauren. So, hi, Lauren. Oh.
Very nice.
Yeah, I thought so. I miss
how long
Pete's
have you
cute.
Known him?
Pete? Goodness.
No, yeah.
A decade?
Pete? Decade, and just now you're learning his wife's name.
I'm bad with names.
It's very touching, Jim.
Well,
54,000. That's the population of Pocatello.
54?
Yeah.
So a little bit, about half of Fort
kind of like
Collins.
Loveland.
Or a third
Loveland-ish,
of Fort Collins.
Maybe.
Lovelandish.
Yeah.
But there's nothing else around it.
Right. That's the
that's the problem.
That's the issue.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
The hunting out there must be good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And fishing.
No humidity like Kentucky, apparently.
No.
We did receive an email from Julia in the office who confirmed that Kentucky, as she put it, has humidity thick enough to swim in.
Exactly. And that's what that's what made me a little surprised. You were headed that
see,
direction.
See, now that surprises me. I had no clue because Kentucky is, I just figured it's far enough north I can get a little bit of winter. Far enough south, I can get a mild winter.
I think it's more like it's far enough north, you get ice storms. And far enough south that it's like
humid.
Jungly hot in the summertime.
Really?
So, yeah.
All right. She did say Kentucky, though, was beautiful. So Kentucky remains on my place of possible
it's
places
very, very
to retire to
and
as well.
The Kentucky Derby.
Well, this is a decision I don't have to make for another 12 to 15 years. Okay. So he began, yo, Jim and Chris and possibly Pete, couple of things for you. I'm going to skip the beginning because he talks about a few other...
personal items.
He talks about a few other retirement-related iTunes podcasts that, quite honestly, in his opinion, stink. And I really love to read these, but I don't want to upset the other podcasts out there. So he gives us his opinion of those podcasts. Okay, now he gets to his real question. But he began, second, here is a question for you, which you probably won't be willing to answer. And when I saw that, I figured,
what?
Why does he think we'll answer anything? We don't care.
Maybe it's a personal question.
And that's what I thought at first. Thought it was going to be like, how can a man as compelling as you still be single or something like that? But he didn't ask that.
It's a question your mom asks every
constantly,
day.
Constantly, mom is asking me that. Did you meet anyone yet? Nope, not yet, mom. So she's given up on all the grandkids.
Well,
at least from me.
Lucky you've got a sister.
A sister who produced two, so right. She's placated. But, yeah, she asks it. And my parents, like, hint now. Anything new?
Oh, that's what it turned into?
Yeah, like, anything new? Like, no? Nothing new? Did you do anything this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
No, not really. I know what they're prying for.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Second question, which you probably won't be willing to answer, but I am willing to answer. He begins, I started going through all my old tax records back to 1977. Either this guy is bored or he really was trying to do some planning.
Or he's a hoarder.
Looking for my form 8606.
Do you have taxes back to the 70s?
Yeah, they paid taxes back in the
70s. No, do you have tax returns back to the 70s?
I was 13 in the 70s.
Okay, to the 80s? Do you have your 1987 tax return?
No. Well, he does.
My records are terrible then because I keep 3-4 years like I'm supposed to, and then it gets shredded.
He has great records. 8606, form 8606, listeners, is a form that you would use whenever you do a Roth conversion to track the basis in the conversion. But you also use form 8606 to track basis in a deductible IRA. What does all this mean in English? Well, a deductible IRA is when you put money in, but you're going to deduct that money on your taxes. So the IRS needs to keep track of how much you've deducted and how much you didn't deduct so they don't double tax you. So when you put money into an IRA and don't deduct it, they want you to record that on Form 8606. And it's a running tally form, Chris. If you are going to file another 8606, you begin with the ending balance of the old 8606, carry it over to the new form, write down the money you did not deduct, and keep track of it. Okay. You're supposed to file the form and they charge you. It's either a $50 or $100 penalty for not charging the form, filing the form. So he begins, when I went through again and looked at my 1040s for IRA contributions, I found I have a couple of problems. And then he put in parentheses, perhaps caused by doing taxes by hand back then and not with software. Very, very well, that could be it. My first problem is my second 8606 filed in 1996. I used the full value of my IRA as the previous basis. So remember what I said, you have to carry the basis over from the old 8606 on. Any money you put down as basis, you don't have to pay taxes on when you take it out.
Right, and that's essentially what he was claiming by writing that number down, that all of that money he's already paid taxes on, when in reality he hadn't.
So let's just use some round numbers. Let's pretend he had... you did that on purpose. I was on a roll.
No, I didn't. I just obey the clock, that's all.
All right, when we come back, I'll give a little example of what this all means, basis 8606, and answer this gentleman's question, which I haven't even gotten to yet. So we'll do that when we come back.
Not only that, we're going to hear one of the top songs from this week in 1981. The number one song is still Endless Love, and it will be for the next 47 weeks. So we're not playing that one anymore because we're sick of it. But we're going to hear one of the songs that was the official title of this country crossover song doesn't appear anywhere in its lyrics.
Oh,
tricky.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we'll find out what that might be after this short break on the Retirement and IRA Show.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. And click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
If you think that it ain't feeling right, but darling, there ain't no getting over me.
Well, welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. Well, you can say it was one of the top songs in 1981, at least this week in 1981.
No clue what it is.
No clue. That's Ronnie Millsap, the country crossover hit. The title is There's No Getting Over Me.
He said
the lyric is, there ain't no getting over me. But
so
that's not the song
in the title.
Title,
he was trying to use proper English.
I'm not sure what disconnect there was, but at no time does he say there's no getting over me. That's there ain't no getting over me, which fits better with the melody anyway. So why do we do this? Oh, yeah, you've already told people. This is our lead up to what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa! What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa.
So on this week's update on what's new with help, what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com, pardon me, We talk about what is your full retirement age for survivor benefits, not for your own benefit. We always talk about retirement benefits on here. That's what most people think about. But the full retirement age for survivor benefits can actually be different than your full retirement age for retirement benefits. The survivor bucket and the retirement bucket, there's a slight difference in rules. And not for everyone. I'd say for most people, they're the same. But for a handful of people, they are actually different. So we talk about the specifics there. And that's what's new on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com this week.
What's new, pussycat?
I know we have a lot to talk about.
Wow, that was
a
quick update.
Well, I know we got a lot to do on this question still.
Hopefully, I don't think we're going to get to both HSA questions as well. But anyways, back to the 8606 gentleman. So if you don't know where I left off, you're going to have to listen. If you're new, if you're just listening in, you're going to have to get to the previous segment. Well, I don't want
to
recap.
If you're driving around listening on the radio, it's a little hard to do that.
True. Okay. So anyways, the gentleman went back to 1977 and started looking at his old tax returns. He found a mistake in 1996.
Mm-hmm. Where he overstated the amount of post-tax or non-deductible contributions to his IRA that were made.
And why is this important? Any money listed on your 8606 as basis will not be taxed. So let's just pretend in 1996 he had $50,000 in his IRA and $5,000 of it was basis, mm-hmm. money that has already been taxed. $45,000 has never been taxed. If that is what his 8606 in 1996 said, excuse me, it would be the one he filed before that. So at any time before 1996, if that's what he had and he filed that on his 8606, everything there is fine. But in 1996, he made another after-tax contribution to his IRA and he had to file, he said, a new 8606. As I said, you got to file it every year you put in a non-deductible contribution. Well, instead of carrying over the $5,000 basis as the running tally, he carried $50,000 over. Mm-hmm. And he wrote down that his basis was $50,000. Now, I'm making these numbers up, folks, just to give you an idea of the mistake that was made here. He had an IRA with $50,000 with $5,000 in basis. The IRS says every year you file 8606, you begin with where you left off on your old 8606. So his old 8606 had the $5,000 of basis written down. Well, when he begins on his new one, instead of writing five, he wrote 50. And then he added to that his new after-tax contribution. Let's just say it was $2,000. He wrote $2,000 down, leaving a total basis in the IRA of $52,000 instead of seven. Now, I'm making these numbers up, but can you see now the problem he could have caused?
Well, essentially, he was claiming that magically he no longer owed taxes on that $45,000
exactly.
difference. That he,
exactly.
He never paid taxes on the way in, so he should be paying on the way out, but he's claiming now that he, you know, by this mistake,
oops.
That he wouldn't owe taxes on that
okay.
amount.
Then he went in to write, sadly, I contributed four more times with after-tax contributions and only filed 8606 one more time.
So second mistake is he didn't keep his 8606 up to date by filing that every time.
Right. So he asked, do I just file corrected 8606s for all those years I made a mistake? I am thinking of doing a partial Roth conversion this year, but want to get this straightened out first. Why does he want to get it straightened out? You use Form 8606, a different section on 8606, but you use 8606 to keep track of every Roth conversion you do. I won't get into why they make you do that. This was intriguing to me because I thought, well, I said to myself, he's passed the three-year statute of limitations. The IRS has essentially accepted it. They haven't questioned him on it. So could his erroneous 8606 be okay? Or should he file an amended 8606, and does he have to file one for every year that was missed? And how does he go about doing that? So I had to pull in the big guns on this one.
Can I predict the answer?
Sure. Because you don't know the answer.
I would say the error that is going to be subject to the 3-year statute of limitations is when he takes the money out and claims it shouldn't be taxed. So that event hasn't occurred yet. So he's still open to this because he's still going to have to prove that what basis was in there. And that's when these erroneous 8606s are going to appear during that process. So I think he doesn't have to file old corrected ones, but he needs to file a correct one and handle it properly, not claiming the extra basis that he's supposed to, because if the IRS asks him to prove it, he won't be able to prove the erroneous number, but could prove the correct number. Is that the answer?
Very good. Yes.
There you go.
So I got to the big guns, which would be the Ed Slot group.
Well, apparently it's me if I got the right answer.
So what I did is I emailed this issue to the Ed Slot group, and they reached back out to me, and they wrote, Jim, I am betting that the IRS does not even have copies of his original 8606 from 1996.
I bet you're right.
What he can do is file a current version of the form 8606 on his next tax return. Put the correct amount that should have been recorded in 1996 and the 3 missed years in his balance carry forward. Remember, you have to carry a balance forward. This is all from the previous balance. Don't record it as a new one. Carry the correct numbers forward. If the IRS does not question this 8606 in the following 3 years, then they have accepted it. However, the client should be sure to have a backup for the amount he is claiming as the actual after-tax amount, just in case the IRS does question his 8606. So what he's saying is you don't have to go back and file the 1996 8606. And let's just say he said he missed 3 more. So let's just say he missed the 97, 98, and 99. Normally, when you miss a form, you have to go back and get that form from that tax year and fill it in correctly. Here, the Ed Slot Group, and again, it's just their suggestion, they're saying, look, if he knows what the correct amount should be and he can prove it, file a new 8606, even though he's not making any after-tax contribution, put zero as this year's. The 8606 begins with the ending balance. The Ed Slot Group doesn't think they actually have that dollar amount written anywhere. And if they do, it's a much larger dollar amount because he admits he wrote a very big number down that he shouldn't have. So they're saying just begin with the carry forward balance to what it was. And your basis, folks, this man hasn't taken any money out. Basis does not increase because of earnings. It only increases by more basis. So the basis hasn't changed unless he's taken money out, and he never indicated that he did. So they're saying to simply file 8606, much like you did, Chris, and put the correct dollar amount down. Make sure you have your documentation to back it up. Put zero as this year's non-deductible contribution. That's going to give you an ending basis balance. Attach that to your 1040 this year and send it out. And within, if they don't audit it or question it within 3 years, that will be the new correct basis, and he should be okay.
And since he's claiming something that's going to cause him to pay more taxes than less,
yeah, they're not going to complain. Right. No. This is actually helping them because my point is, though, have they accepted the wrong one?
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking. But how do I know? So if they accepted the old one, does he need to do this? Well, if he really wants to be honest and pay his fair share, as so many politicians say, then yes, he should file a corrected 8606 with the correct much, 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 much lower basis so he can pay much, much, much more in taxes and do the right thing. But when I read Ed Zanza, and this didn't come from Ed, it came from one of his minions, I thought, well, then by that logic, they've already accepted his wrong 8606. Does he need to
correct it?
Yeah,
but it doesn't really come into play until you're claiming an exclusion for taxes when you make distributions. So they may not pay that much attention to it until you
actually. Right, but they're not going to pull something and make him prove something he declared in 1996.
No.
He's going to say, look, I filed this in 96. Mm-hmm. That was my 8606. It's not my fault you don't have a copy of it. And even if they did have a copy of it, they've accepted it. That's the thing. They haven't questioned it. But anyways, if he wants to do the right thing, which is what we would always recommend with your taxes, if you want to do the right thing and pay the government your fair share, then file a new 8606 with the much lower amount that you are claiming is basis and therefore not taxable to you. So the government will use that as your new beginning balance. But either way, this is an intriguing moral question, is it not?
Yeah, and if you want to stay on the right side of the IRS.
Because legally, it's been accepted.
That doesn't mean it's the truth.
So. But anyways, I guess it's going to become your word against their word. But according to the Ed Slot Group and from what Chris is saying and a reluctant Jim, I am also saying you should probably do the right thing. And update that so you can give the government more of your money because they know much better than you what to do with it. Okay.
HSAs, finally.
Are we getting to that? All right.
I hope so. We told people we would.
I know HSAs. We told a lot of people now, but now you're forcing me to actually find the emails.
Well, you haven't gone anywhere, really. They're sitting in front of you somewhere.
Well,
HSA being a health savings account, which is a way to defer taxes on income, or don't even have to have income, I guess. It's to avoid taxes so that you can pay for medical expenses with pre-tax income. But it has to be paired. In order to have an HSA, you must pair that with a qualifying high deductible health insurance plan. So not everyone can do an HSA, but a lot of people these days, since the popularity of high deductible health insurance plans has really increased. We're seeing a lot more people with these, and they are very attractive, actually, for the people who use them as intended, and it can actually, in the long term, end up being a very advantageous type of an account to have in retirement. That money that's in there can always be used to pay for qualified health care expenses. And generally, you have a lot of healthcare expenses when you reach retirement age and after. So being able to pay for them with pre-tax income, money that's never been taxed and never will be taxed as long as you use it in a qualified way, that's very attractive, right, Jim? Have you found what you need?
Correct. Okay, we have two. I'm trying to do these.
So I gave him the recap of what
you
an
did.
HSA
is. I was not listening, but thank you. Yeah. I'm trying to do this in chronological order. I found them in my iPad. Mm-hmm. So we'll do the one from September 20th first. Mm-hmm. And we've already answered this listener's question. We reached out to her directly. But it begins. I am retiring at my full retirement age. This is key. I know you haven't seen this. This is a key part of this question.
Okay.
I am retiring at my full retirement age. Mm-hmm. Medicare Part A will be automatic. What she means, because we had to reach out to this person, they will be collecting Social Security.
And that automatically triggers Part A, even
correct.
If you're not collecting Part B, because you might be still employed, having a different health care plan that
right.
doesn't force you to do Medicare.
Long story short, she sent me this very short email and a much longer email somehow to Junior.
To what?
Justin.
He's Junior now?
I call him Junior.
Okay.
And I'm like, how did you get this longer email? I get this little email. Justin got a much more in-depth email. I think somehow Justin got a hold of this and got a hold of her, and then she sent more info. Mm. So long story short, she added a lot more info. Mm-hmm. So I am retiring at my full retirement age. Medicare Part A is automatic. Medicare automatically backdates 6 months. Can I contribute to an HSA during that six-month period? So when I got this email, I knew where she was going with this. I mentioned it to Justin. I'm not sure if he reached out to her or not, but long story short, more information was shared. What is going on is she is currently working. She has an HSA at work, a health savings account at work. She wanted to retire at her full retirement age of 66 and begin collecting Social Security, but keep working. She wanted to keep working and file at 66 because she wouldn't lose anything due to the earnings test at that point. Mm-hmm. However, she was told once she begins collecting Social Security, she will automatically be enrolled in Medicare Part A. And it's you cannot opt out of that. And Justin and I had a little dispute on that until I proved to him you can't.
Correct.
You cannot opt out of Part A unless you shut off Social Security. You cannot receive Social Security and opt out of Part A. In fact, there was a lawsuit against the federal government and the Social Security Administration in 2012 by a bunch of HSAans, I called them, a bunch of people contributing in HSAs and couldn't. And they said, it's unfair, you won't let us opt out. And they lost that lawsuit. The courts ruled the government can make pretty much any rule they want. So we did clarify this with her. That's what she was looking to do. Mm-hmm. So her concern is she was also told that Medicare Part A will be automatically backdated 6 months. And she was told that she will not be able to contribute to the HSA 6 months prior to actually turning on her Social Security because the IRS counts the backdating, the automatic backdating, as an ineligible period. She wanted to know if all this was true, and I answered yes and no. So let me explain as I explained to her, because this is a really cool question. Mm-hmm. Okay, first of all, the backdating of Social Security, Chris, as you know, begins when?
At your full retirement age. Doesn't go out and go back past that.
But if you retire right on your full retirement age date as she wants to, mm-hmm. there's nothing to backdate.
Nope.
But if she had written to me and said, my full retirement age is 66, I'm going to retire at 67. Now there could be a problem mm-hmm. because backdating, the Social Security Administration and Medicare is trying to be nice. They're trying to do a nice thing. Backdating, which is usually the standard that they will do.
That's you have, the default.
Right. You have mm-hmm. to tell them, don't do it. Backdating is any time after your full retirement age. They will backdate up to 6 months and give that to you as a lump sum. So remember, folks, this woman is going to retire right at her full retirement age. So there's nothing to backdate. So I told her she's not going to have to worry. But let's just say she was going to retire at 67. And by retire, I don't mean stop working. Retire for Social Security purposes and collect Social Security. She was going to keep working. She was covered by an employer plan with more than 20 employees, so her HSA was eligible, and her ability to participate would have been there, but in other words, participate in the HSA and not have to enroll in Medicare is there, but that goes away the minute she wants to claim Social Security. The minute she claims Social Security, even though she's covered by an employer plan, Medicare is automatic. Not only is Medicare automatic, backdating is automatic. So if she retired at 67, they would backdate her as if, Chris, she retired when? 66 and a half. Mm-hmm. They would give her that 6 months as a lump sum. And that's a nice thing. They're trying to be nice. But not only that, your Medicare is backdated, Chris. And any costs during that six-month period that would have been covered by Medicare will be reimbursed. Mm-hmm. So if she had medical expenses that cost her money because her employer, say, didn't cover them with their plan, which I would find hard to believe, but if they didn't, she could have got some Medicare coverage. But this is automatic, and it has burned people. Because people who were contributing to their HSA right up to the point they turned on Social Security get nasty grams from the IRS. Because the IRS says, hey, wait a minute. You made contributions from 66 and a half to 67, and you were covered by Medicare. Even though you weren't, it was because it was backdated. Am I explaining this right? Hopefully. So it would have burned her. But in her case, it's not, I told her. She is retiring right at her full retirement age. And by retiring, people, she's going to continue working. She's going to continue to receive her health care from her employer. She continues to have an HSA. But because she's turning Social Security on, she's automatically enrolled in Part A of Medicare. And once you're enrolled in Medicare, you cannot contribute to an HSA. So her ability to contribute will be lost at her full retirement age, but there will be no backdating, Chris, for her. And no backdating because there's no months to backdate. The backdating count begins from your full retirement age forward.
And you can still, that you can say no.
Yes.
But you have to proactively instruct them not to do that, because that's the default when you go in.
And I told her to go into Social Security personally, because if she misses it by a month or two and they backdate you and she was putting money in her HSA, it would blow it up.
Right.
So I said, go in personally, file at your full retirement age. You will be okay. I know this was a little rushed, but we will talk more about HSAs on future shows, I promise.
Perfect. So that music means we are at the end of another edition or episode of the Retirement and IRA Show. Thanks a lot for joining us. If you're listening live, go out and have a great Saturday. If you're listening on iTunes, reach out to us sometime with a question.
Send us more questions.
Send us more questions, and we would like to hear where you're from. So go out and have a great Saturday.
Okay.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, HELPS.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.